From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today we are remembering the life and legacy of Pope Francis, who died Monday at the age of 88. He ministered to the world's 1.4 billion Catholics for more than a decade, and his very presence in the role included a number of milestones. He was the first pope from the Americas and the firstborn outside Europe in more than a millennium. Francis was admired even by those who were not Catholics, especially among progressives who appreciated his public outreach on matters of the environment and softer rhetoric, at least, about people in the LGBTQ community. But those comments also occasionally generated backlash, and he faced questions over his response to the global problem of sexual and spiritual abuse of children by members of the priesthood. We want to hear from you this hour, whether or not you are among the faithful, at 800-222-9455. How will you remember Pope Francis? What do you think will be his legacy? And where would you like to see the church go from here? 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. A little later in the hour, we're going to hear from Cardinal Blaise Supich, the Archbishop of Chicago. But first, we are joined now by Bishop Louis Tilke, who oversees the Diocese of Peoria. Bishop Tilke, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us, and my condolences.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
What was your reaction when you first heard about Pope Francis's death?
I was quite surprised and shocked, especially seeing the coverage of his being present to the church in Sunday, Easter Sunday in St. Peter's Square, his coming out for the Urbi et Orbi address and blessing to the city and to the world, and then making his way through the crowds that had gathered in St. Peter's Square and the Pope Mobile. Comments were made about his voice sounding stronger, although it was still evident that he's pretty weak. But just the fact that he was there was such a great blessing. So there's no indication, at least that I heard or saw or knew of, that things would transpire as they did on Monday morning with him passing away. So it was quite surprised and shocked, saddened, of course, to learn of his passing.
How have the communities you serve reacted to the news? What have you been hearing from people?
I think a lot of folks feel the same sentiment of a great sadness, that he is going home to God, but also gratitude for his ministry, for his life, for the witness of faith that he gave to us. He was such a powerful presence in the role of the Pope, to be present to people, to be accessible, speaking in ways that people really felt a personal connection to him. So there's a great sadness in his loss, but a great gratitude as well for the life and example that he set for us.
Well, say more about that. How do you think he changed the Catholic Church in his time as Pope, or maybe not changed, but at least shaped and nudged?
Well, I think, one of the great gifts of Pope Francis was his personality, right? Any leader in any role, any person, has the unique characteristics of their personality and all. And he was just a man of warmth, a man of compassion. Truly, what you saw in him was him living out his faith and his belief in Jesus, and how that called him to live and to love as the Lord lived and loved for us. So I just think that his personality was such a great gift, because what he did was, I think, in some ways, if I could use the term, he humanized the role of the papacy, making people feel so much more connected into that role. Now, he didn't change the church. He was certainly consistent with the church's teachings and all. What he did was invite us to perhaps approach things a little bit more differently, more on that personal human tact before getting into any rules, regulations, or teachings. Love the person first, and then help them to grow in the ways of Jesus. I would characterize this as his example of leadership.
Yes, that's a great point. I was reading a piece, I think I read a lot yesterday, but I think one of the pieces was in Common Weal. You can make of that what you will, but that's where I was reading. But it talked about how people often responded to sort of rhetorical changes he might make, such as outreach to people who are LGBT, but you know, not necessarily changing church policy. Is that something you've seen, I don't know, confusion or backlash, or how have you thought about that, and how have your members of your, you know, your congregations thought of that?
Sure. You know, I think obviously the church is built first and foremost on the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say, do? What did Jesus teach us and call us to be? Over time, of course, as a institution, divinely created, but you know, still a very much a human institution. Over the years, centuries, you know, rules and structures have been put in place, and sometimes we lose sight that what is first and foremost is the gospel and not the rules and regulations of the church. And I think that the reality, again, of Pope Francis's reminder to us was to, in some ways, not discard the rules or the teachings of the church in any way, but to redirect our efforts so that, you know, someone who is struggling, and we all struggle with our sinfulness, we all struggle with the challenges we face in life, somebody needs to be loved first before we ever try to impose or direct them through any rules or dogmas of the church. So I just think that focus of encountering somebody first with love and mercy, which is what Jesus did throughout the Gospels, that was his reminder to us.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Our topic for the hour today is remembrance of Pope Francis. Many of you shared your thoughts with our text messaging group. Aaron in Springfield said, a phrase from his days of pastoral work in South America that is attributed to him now, God always forgives, and people sometimes forgive, nature never forgives. We also heard from Karen in Champaign, who said, I'm a 60-year-old Protestant. Until Pope Francis, I had really very little respect for the popes or Catholicism because they tended to create rules that did not seem in keeping with the essence of Christ's message. Pope Francis was the exception, and I will point out that to his last day alive, Pope Francis was advocating for Palestinians, Karen said. We are talking for the first part of our program today with Bishop Louis Tilke of the Diocese of Peoria. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Bishop Tilke, I know you and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we're both graduates of Marian Catholic High School in Chicago Heights, so we got a good education in Catholic social justice, class of 95 for me. You don't always hear that emphasized to the same degree from every, you know, different part of the church. Can you talk about that question of emphasis in public messaging under Francis and his outreach as well?
So, you know, again, the values that the church proclaims, that the value of social justice, human dignity, again, the value of each and every life from the moment a life is conceived until its natural death, again, not getting into judgment of people's sinfulness and the lifestyle that they live or choose, and knowing that we are in a human family, that God's created the world and trusted it to us to be shared and to be a source of blessing for all. Pope Francis in his teachings, especially in his writings of the encyclicals he gave us, Laudato Si, care for creation, sharing the earth resources, understanding that what comes first is being able to see the dignity of everyone as a brother and sister, and not as a commodity to use, or not as being able to keep or hoard one resources from another. That we're all in the world together. We all need to be supportive and helpful to one another. And what the church's social teaching is always making sure that we never forget the least among us, that we never forget those who are on the margins of society, that you know, there is a preferential option for the poor, that we are called to serve our brothers and sisters. And again, it's just embodied who Pope Francis was and how he lived his life, and certainly what he taught us in his role as the Holy Father.
Americans have become so divided by politics in recent decades. And unfortunately, the church has not escaped some of those divisions in the church membership. I wonder how you have navigated that among your faithful in your time as bishop.
I would go back to something I said a little bit earlier, which is that our faith is based upon, first and foremost, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus always sought to bring people together. Jesus showed us, taught us how to show compassion to one another. And so, you know, in my role as serving as bishop, my first thing is to always go back to the gospel, not to any ideological point, whether it be on the right or the left, you know, to move beyond that, to value people for who they are, understanding that we have different ways of approaching things, different ways of looking at things. And, you know, if we could only dialogue and talk and listen to each other, truly listen to each other, which, again, Pope Francis called us to do that, to be a listening church, perhaps we can learn from one another and we can grow closer to the Lord and closer to one another. So, you know, I really try to avoid the, you know, political ideologies or, you know, the ideologies in the church that say one's a traditionalist versus a progressive, a conservative versus a liberal. Let's focus on the gospel. Let's look at what Jesus taught us. And we all, whether we're traditional or progressive, liberal, conservative, we all have a lot of growing to do to fully embrace what Jesus taught and said. And that's where we have to put our energy.
I want to pick up on something you mentioned there from Francis, which is the idea of being a listening church. How has that manifested in the Diocese of Peoria?
Well, personally, it manifested in when I first was appointed a bishop by Pope Francis. I was appointed as the coadjutor bishop. And what that meant was, is my predecessor, Bishop Janke, was still the diocesan bishop. I served basically for the first 19 months of my role as a bishop, as an auxiliary bishop, assisting him until I would succeed him automatically on his retirement, which I did back in March of 2022. What I did during that period of time was to get to know my diocese, which was a new home for me. I went around and I listened. I listened to the priests in a series of meetings with them, and then I went back around and listened to lay leaders. And just to hear what they saw as our opportunities, as well as our challenges, what needed to be our priorities. And so by the time that I actually became the diocesan bishop in March of 2022, I felt I had heard, I had listened, and I had heard what the church in the diocese was saying was our needs and our priorities to deal with the challenges we faced, and we were able to begin working in that direction. So, you know, I personally just value listening. I like to joke about the fact that I grew up with five older sisters who all loved to talk. And so as the baby brother, all I did was listen to them. So I learned how to listen from the family I grew up in. But, you know, when we take the time to listen, as I do today, I try to, when I'd rather have people come and sit around a table and have a conversation and to learn from one another than to make decisions in isolation or without, you know, being well-informed. So it's just important to hear what people are saying and to hear their experience so that we can take that in as part of our discernment and into deciding how it is that the Lord is calling us to move and to act.
Just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in our time together. One of the problems I know the Pope was aware of, and this is not unique to Catholicism, but it's declining church attendance, declining religious affiliation. They say the fastest growing religious affiliation in America is none of the above or none. How are you thinking about, you know, how the Pope dealt with that and where things go in the future?
You know, I think, again, looking at his life and what he witnessed for us, he wanted the church to be a missionary church, a field hospital. That's one of the images that he used. He wanted everyone as a disciple of Jesus to go out into the world to share their experience of God's love and mercy in their life, giving witness and inviting others into that same type of relationship with the Lord. So I think that all of us, through his example and through our own witness of faith, need to engage the world. You know, the church is not out of the world, but it's in the world, in the joys and struggles of people's lives, and entering into those conversations that invite us to give witness to faith in Jesus helps to shape people's minds and hearts and have them transformed. And I think that's how we will continue to seek people to convert to live their life for the Lord, is to give that personal witness and engage in those conversations.
Bishop Louis Tilke of the Diocese of Peoria, thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
We'll bring in some more Illinois voices to keep the conversation going after the break. We are talking about the death of Pope Francis and what this means for the Catholic Church and Catholicism. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. More to come here on the 21st Show. Please stay with us.